What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Budget and your family, well, Rocket can. Hickey, before we do this QB or that QB, you want to know how pathetic my football life has become when it comes to the New England Patriots and how bad the offense is and how just disgusting and insipid and pedestrian that Patriots offense is? You want to know how pathetic it is if you're a fan of the Patriots right now and you went to that game last night like I did?
Sure, let's hear it.
So, late in the fourth quarter, when you go to these games, even if the team stinks, it's still in some way a fun environment, if that makes any sense, even though you're miserable because the team's not playing well, because you have a collective group of people in front of you and behind you that you've never met before that are all bitching about the same things that you're bitching about. It's almost therapeutic in a way. Because you know once you leave the stadium, you got to stop the bitching and you got to go back to living your normal life. So there's a guy sitting in front of me at the game last night. Older gentleman. And you want to know what the conversation was with about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter? You want to know what he was bragging about and what everyone had an opinion about?
Sure.
He had electric socks. Heated socks. And he
Smart
could control
man.
The temperature of the socks. On an app from his phone.
That is bougie. Wow.
Yeah, that's something you would need if you ever had to actually go to a cold weather football game again. So the reason why I bring that up is the T-Bart Express, who is listening to us right now, tweeted us and said, when you go to a cold weather game, you guys needed heated vests. You ever had a heated vest?
I have not. I've heard of them. Never had one.
Now, there's some stadiums that don't let you bring in a heated vest. I think it was in Buffalo. When we were walking in, that was the first time I ever heard about them because they said you can't wear a heated vest to Buffalo, which you think would be the place that you would be allowed to wear one, but I don't know. Is it a security concern or something like that? They don't want people, you know.
I think it's a fire hazard?
Yeah. Like,
I think those, you know, burst.
You telling me?
Burst into flames.
There's a chance that I could go in with a heated vest and I could...
Short circuits. All
go
of
up
sudden,
in flames,
you know,
stop, drop, and roll.
I mean, look, not to... be morbid, but you are, you know, a walking tinderbox. If that, you know, with all the layers people have on, that thing does, you know,
that
short
is true.
Circuit.
That is true. Yeah, you're not wrong on that. What did you say? A walking what?
I just told tinderbox.
Oh, okay. When you hear the word tinderbox, you think of something else these days.
The app.
Yes.
No, not the app. Just a box full of all just flammable objects ready to go up with one match.
Yeah.
Some kindling,
you
some
know what?
Fire.
You know, probably wear a heated vest to a football game these days.
Who's that?
Drew Brees.
Well,
by the way, how stupid is that? Like, I called you today, and I go, "Hey, there's some video that's surfacing online of Drew Brees getting struck by lightning," and my buddy that I was driving back with goes, "Oh, that's got to be fake." And I go, "Oh, yeah, you're probably right," but I go, "I got to call Hickey just in case if it's not fake." Because it was being reported on Twitter that he got struck by lightning while filming a commercial for PointsBet. And I called Tiki and I go, "Hey, let's just monitor this Drew Brees thing." And then I text you, "Oh, it's fake and all that." But how dumb is that? Like, what are they doing on PointsBet? It's called like lightning round or something like, it's some way you could gamble with them, like strike quickly like lightning or something. And they were filming a commercial to then do series of commercials. One is Drew Brees getting struck by lightning, then coming out of the hospital. It was actually kind of funny, the second commercial, once you knew he didn't actually get struck by lightning and wasn't going to die. It was kind of funny when it was, you don't know if you get struck by lightning twice, and then he got struck by lightning again. But that was very bizarre on the internet today. Like, that was a very weird and uncomfortable 30 minutes or so.
To their credit, it worked.
Well,
they got
yes
the message
and no.
out, and they got their name out.
So, yes, now everyone's talking about PointsBet today. But are people now actually going to PointsBet and, like, signing up on their app and placing bets through PointsBet, do you think?
I have no idea.
But probably more of an uptick than...
Right. If you didn't hear about their name beforehand, now you definitely do. And now it's just, you know, they've had commercials before that are pretty, let's say, crappy.
Yeah.
Now at least that, you know, they're out there again and... Maybe, like I said, maybe you're inclined next time you want to bet, oh, maybe let's go sports bet. Oh, yeah, or points bet, because that was the one who almost had Drew Brees die.
Do you think when they were coming up with this, how long do you think it took them to just say, or when you're, let's just say you're Drew Brees. We go to Drew Brees. Hey, Drew, we're going to release a commercial. You're going to get struck by lightning. And then we're going to release a second commercial that you survive and you came out of the hospital and you got to join like this lightning round on points bet or whatever. If you were Drew Brees, wouldn't you say, guys, I know I'm your spokesperson, but I really don't need your money. I made a lot of money in the NFL. I have a lot of endorsements. Go back to the drawing table.
I mean, you would think, but everyone has a price. Everyone has a price.
I know, but that guy doesn't need the money.
And he doesn't need people texting him, are you alive?
Well, that, yeah.
Like, that was... When you called, it's actually a little morbid. Off, like, we're like, are we going to do, like, a eulogy? Like, this is...
It was scary for
like,
bit.
10 minutes, it kind of went down a dark path.
But every jackass now in the media, once one person texts Drew Brees and Drew Brees says, I'm good, then everyone in the media has to start reaching out. Hey, Drew, how you doing? Drew, you're good, you're good, you're good. Okay. Hey, I just talked to Drew Brees. I want you to know I talked to Drew Brees, and Drew Brees is okay. Yeah, we saw every other media member tweet that out today. A little bit too much for me. Did you text Drew Brees today to see if he was okay?
I did not. You know, after I saw the first person
say,
okay,
you're an awful human being.
I'll save Drew the text. But it's like, man, that's...
That was a wild 30 minutes that we had. Well, I called him like, I don't know if this is real or not, but Drew Brees, I guess, got struck by lightning, and it's through points bet. And I'll give credit to Ray, my friend. He goes, this got to be something in a betting world, like a promotion just to get you to go join points bet or something.
They claim to be filming in Venezuela, so they went all in terms of, you know, going to this location. That's true, but...
And he sent a tweet out 2 days before, going on a secret location to shoot a big commercial.
They really... a lot of work, we'll say this, but this is not like, oh, let's just do this, what the hell, and just kind of wing it. This is a lot of effort and minds put together to make
this
commercial.
And Drew Brees really has no shame, because he was very active on social media after this. For example, Purdue, his school, they play Michigan this week in the Big Ten championship game. And he's walking around and he goes, by the way, I'm alive. I didn't die today. I'm feeling really good about Purdue. Like, go Boilermakers. Like, if I'm him, you got the publicity for points bet. I don't need to see your face all over the place today.
I would assume he would go to the game tomorrow. Do you think he brings like a lightning bolt with him? Like, you know, if he's on the big screen, like... Or he calls Lucas Oil Stadium, hey, you know, let's get an effect where all of a sudden a lightning strikes and then boom, I pop up. You got to just play into it, right, at this point?
I guess.
Maybe he wears a costume like, you know, the Incredibles,
know.
Lightning Man.
If I'm Purdue, I'm saying, Drew, stay home.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Jeff Brom. Actually, you know, on a second thought, Drew.
Drew, we don't want any distractions.
We're going to retract the tickets we gave you.
Yeah. All right, let's get to a little bit of this QB or that QB for week 13. Hit it. Give you a disclaimer, please.
The quarterbacks we will discuss is for this week and this week only. We're not talking about career. We're not talking about the rest of the season. Which quarterback do you want on your team for this week 13 matchup only? Let's start the big gun, Zach. Chiefs, Bengals. Would you rather have Joe Burrow, who's 2-0 against Patrick Mahomes?
Great question.
Or would you rather have... right now, the best quarterback in the NFL himself, Patrick Mahomes.
Even though Burrow and the Bengals won both games last year, and they also won that AFC title game where Patrick Mahomes was horrible in the second half and overtime, I'm taking the best quarterback in football in Patrick Mahomes. And I hate that you asked me this one. I knew you were going to, because I love Joe Burrow. Burrow's phenomenal. you know what? Since I don't have a quarterback right now, or my quarterback's not being put in a position to succeed, I don't think there's a quarterback that I enjoy watching more right now than Joe Burrow.
He's got the drip like on point tomorrow or Sunday, right? You think?
His drip is always on point.
He'll be walking in some
swaggy outfit. Could be the swaggiest quarterback in the NFL.
Do you run back what he wore last year with the glasses and like that, not fur coat, but like that heavy fleece jacket? I think you got to run it back.
I don't know. He could do whatever he wants, Joe Burrow. That guy. Like James Corden once with Justin Bieber. They went into a store together. They're doing one of those carpool karaoke. And James Corden picked out the most ridiculous outfit for Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber wore it. He rocked it. He just has that swag. Joe Burrow just has that swag. But in terms of which quarterback I'd rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, yeah. Reluctantly, I'm going to take Mahomes.
A matchup a little less hyped than Bengals, Chiefs is Steelers, Falcons.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to go Lions, Jaguars.
Kenny Pickett or Marcus Mariota, which one would you rather have for this week?
Kenny Pickett. Not even close. It doesn't mean that the Steelers are going to win this game, just the quarterback. I can't trust Marcus Mariota with the game on the line. You saw what happened last week. Not that you have an abundance of trust in Kenny Pickett, but Kenny Pickett with a bad offensive line made some plays last week against a defense. That's the one bright spot about Indianapolis. They have a good defense on paper. I'll take Kenny Pickett.
Tua or Jimmy G?
Tua. Tua's the better quarterback. Tua's the better player. Jimmy G, we know he's had a lot of success in this league winning games. But I think the Dolphins win in a big reason because of Tua. Like in terms of when you go week in and week out, Jimmy G, sometimes it feels like they win in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo.
You mentioned before, so let's get to it. Lions, Jaguars, Jared Goff or Trevor Lawrence for this week only. Which quarterback would you rather have?
You know, Goff isn't maybe as bad as he's been made out to be. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you he's this wonderful quarterback and a quarterback that you got to have, but I would go with Trevor Lawrence.
Kyle Allen will make his second start here for the Texans.
Ugh.
Deshaun Watson is making his season debut after not playing now for almost 2 years.
Why are you even asking me this?
Because I think it's an interesting question.
Which
quarterback would you rather have, Kyle Allen or Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson is a... It makes a ton of questionable decisions, obviously, off the field. But this is on the field, correct, Amundo?
On the field, where he hasn't played in 2 years.
I don't care. Did you watch Kyle Allen last week?
Did you watch Deshaun Watson in the one preseason game he played?
Are you telling
me?
You'd rather have Kyle
I'm just
Allen?
Trying to make an argument to make it a close decision. I don't think it's as big of a slam dunk as you're making it seem to be.
What?
I'm taking Deshaun Watson, but I don't think it's like by, you know, not even a question moving on. In his first week back, after not playing in 2 years?
Kyle Allen sucks.
Deshaun Watson, I have no idea what he is in the first week. I have no idea.
Deshaun Watson led the league in passing yards.
Even in 2020.
Even if Deshaun Watson is 45% of the quarterback that he once was, he's still 10 times better than Kyle Allen. Deshaun Watson.
Browns defense stinks.
Deshaun Watson.
Mike White or Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins.
This one was better like week one. Now, week 13, not so much. Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson?
Russell Wilson.
Who shows up to the... Which bigger teammates
stop,
show up?
Stop. I was kidding, obviously. Lamar Jackson. 1,000%. I'm just messing.
Trying to get my guy Russ here a win.
I was hoping that would elicit a response. Oh, you're starting to join the Broncos party that you were leading. Oh, man.
I kind of was waiting for the other, like, you know, lobbed up to yourself. I was like, I'm not going to let him try to slam dunk on Russ.
I see through your Deshaun Watson, Kyle Allen conversation. You got so offended and so annoyed with me earlier in the week when I said in the 10-year history of CBS Sports Radio, you made the worst prediction probably of that the Broncos were going to win the Super Bowl this year. Russell Wilson was going to win the Super Bowl MVP and the league MVP. And Nathaniel Hackett was going to be top three coach of the year. I think you were intentionally trying to have a bad take there. So I would direct my attention to your Kyle Allen take over Deshaun Watson or just floating out that possibility that I start to bring that up instead of the Broncos. I'm on to you. I see.
No, I'm actually just trying to defend myself for putting it in the mix. That's all.
Okay.
That's all. I'm just throwing out there. I have no idea what Deshaun Watson is going to look like. He could throw 4 touchdowns against the Texans. He could, going back, maybe get, you know, the booze get in his head and he throws 3 picks. I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but to answer your question, Lamar Jackson over Russell Wilson all day.
Which has a bigger turnout at a birthday party, Lamar or Russell Wilson?
Well, not even close. The Ravens like Lamar Jackson. They may not be able to get a deal done with him, but the players like and respect him. That's an overblown story. I've not been a defender of Russ. I've been maybe his biggest critic. Half the team went to the birthday party. Half the team. That's pretty good. Imagine trying to get half the roster at CBS Sports Radio to go to a birthday party. Like, let's say DA throws a birthday party. You think half the roster's going? You think half the team's going here? Like, we all love DA. We all respect DA. But you know how many times people make excuses and just don't want to do things with people that they work with?
If we saw DA every day, maybe. I think maybe you're right.
See?
That birthday party probably is pretty cringe, too.
I would go. Cringe? Why would it be cringe?
Not DA, Russell Wilson.
Oh.
That's more, not DA.
I was like, there's the Russell Wilson birthday party. For hot take hickey.
I like Russell Wilson. I've tried to defend him a little bit.
I bet you he throws a good party.
Don't think I would go to his birthday
party. No, stop it. Please.
I would see pictures of his face everywhere.
Please.
He'd probably wear the douchiest suit ever.
No, you're missing the point. Sierra playing the party.
But if it's all about Russ, that's insufferable.
Okay.
If it's all about him in the facility, I'm not going to go to a place after.
She playing the party. I bet you she knows how to play a good party. You're telling me if you got invited to Russell Wilson's birthday party, you're not going?
If I was a member of the Broncos, I don't think I would go.
Oh, you're such full of bleep.
If he's as insufferable as it's making out to be in the locker room and in the facility, I am not then spending my time outside facility going to a birthday party where, I'm sure he is one that loves himself and would just be dying for the attention 24/7. It would be obnoxious.
I'm going to see how good of a producer you are. It's going to test your memory and put you on the spot. What's the biggest storyline going into this game?
For which game?
The Broncos Ravens.
Right now?
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest storyline?
Biggest storyline.
There's a little extra motivation for the Broncos.
I don't know.
Remember Justin Tucker was on the plane back?
Oh, yeah.
And he did the whole high knees thing, and he goes, I know we play them and all that, and he just didn't care?
But he did have Russell Wilson, a good quarterback, could play him in a few weeks.
Little motivation there for the Broncos. I just don't. Well, all their wide receiving room is hurt. I don't think it matters anyway. I don't think that group is going to rally and galvanize around Russell Wilson and go, yeah, that's our leader.
So do you think on like the opening kickoff, like someone cheap shots Justin Tucker? Keep running your mouth,
you know
kicker.
What? Put it this way. In a game, if Russell Wilson gets a little cheap shot or Justin Tucker gets a cheap shot, I think there's a greater reaction from the Ravens sideline than there is on the Broncos sideline. Remember the longest yard? The second one? When Adam Sandler comes back and the offensive linemen take a few plays off, they let him get hit. That could be the Broncos' offensive line this
weekend. Wow.
We'll know who went to the birthday party. Intentional missed block. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. How about an AFC West battle? It was a good one the first time these two teams met. Raiders, Chargers. Would you rather have Derek Carr or Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert. Derek Carr threw 3 picks the last 2 times these teams played.
Yes. You are not wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, an NFC East battle. Taylor Heinicke or Daniel Jones, which one would you rather have?
Oh, that's a great one.
For this week and this week only.
Taylor Ham Heinicke.
Ooh. A guy whose teammates
5-1.
Like him.
No, they love him.
Speaking of, you know,
he throws a birthday party. Everyone's going to that birthday party.
I think you're right. He'd probably get the biggest turnout of any quarterback who threw a party.
When you look at both those quarterbacks.
Mike White.
What's the most dominant trait when you look at both those quarterbacks?
Mobility.
No, I'm talking about individually. It would be the mobility of Daniel Jones.
Oh, like that his legs are greater than anything Taylor Heinicke does? Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That's why I'm going Daniel Jones. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. That was this QB or that QB for Week 13.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hickey, you like your job, right? You enjoy being the executive producer of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, right?
False. I love my job.
Oh, look at
Take
you.
That.
Hickey's realizing it's the holiday time. He's like, oh, I want that number to go up this year in terms of what I'm going to give Hot Take Hickey for the holidays. That's what I just took from there.
That is not true. You could ask your son June 1st, December 1st, doesn't matter. My answer is the same.
Now, if I tell you, as much as you love your job, that you could make $170,000 a year somewhere else, would you be at least interested in finding out what the job is?
Money to me is no object, but I'm interested. Let's hear it.
Yes, of course. Smart answer. It is not to be the director of tasting wings, because you would be terrible at that.
But yeah, it depends who you ask.
No. You don't eat wings. You eat.
I saw your
wings
yesterday. Let's say we talked about them.
Who?
You're the picture you sent of the
who
wings.
Who did you talk to?
Carlos, okay. Producing the show. Okay.
Now, I did not make those wings, but there was someone that owns 8 restaurants that was in charge of the wing process. They were good wings yesterday. They weren't regular buffalo wings, but what did you guys say about the wings? Because. Don't be disrespectful.
No, I just was saying it's not my cup of tea. You know, I would have went boneless.
Because
the
bone in.
That's why. That's all I was saying. Carlos played boneless wings rejoin. Said, it's perfect timing. I see Zach tweeting about the tailgate. He does one thing, I would do another. I go ease of eating. I don't want, grease in my fingers. Yeah. That's all.
Well, that's why we don't invite you.
I'm a man's man when it comes to tailgating.
No,
I go for the
no.
game.
You are not
I drink
man's
light
man.
Beer and I eat simple food because I'm there for one reason.
No.
I'm not there to enjoy the time.
You are not a man's man.
I'm there to watch the game.
A man's man would be getting his fingers dirty and eating the wings and all that and sucking the grease off his fingers. That's a man's man. You probably have your fork and your knife and you cut your boneless wings and all that and you cut it up into nice little pieces. You're like a child. I can't bring you to a tailgate. You're like a child.
I don't have to cut up, though. The wings are small if you just put them right in your mouth.
You know what? You come to a tailgate with me. We'll get you a high chair. We'll get you a little sippy cup. And I'll give you your boneless wings and we'll cut it up. And we'll go, okay, here comes the choo-choo chain. Choo-choo. And we'll let you have your little dino nuggets, okay? But anyway, you want to know what the job that pays $170,000 a year is?
It's not wing tasting. Let's hear. What is it?
This is from Rico Bosco over at Barstool Sports. Would you be interested? The director of rodent mitigation. Of New York City.
My girlfriend actually be interested in that. She hates the rats in New York City.
No, but you would be in charge then, I guess, of...
Oh, probably going in the sewers
the
and
rats, right, yeah.
Looking... Yeah,
well, if
going
you're the
in
director,
the...
I don't know if you're actually...
you probably are boss of the people around. I would do that. Yeah, get in the sewer. Get down there. Go get those rats out of there. Go give them some poison. Get out of there.
$170,000 a year.
I would argue underpaid. With how bad the rat problem is, underpaid.
You know what's crazy? Everyone keeps on telling me the rat problem is bad. Man, I'm going to walk myself into some bad
You better watch
here.
Your mouth. You don't want to mush yourself when it comes to this problem.
Everyone keeps on telling me the rat problem is bad in New York City. Now, I live on the 6th floor. Where do you live? What floor?
2nd floor.
Oh, that's a little dangerous. I would never live 1st floor in a New York City apartment.
Same. Or a basement.
My friend lives in the first floor of New York City apartment. Had roaches. That's terrible. Now,
that is disgusting.
I've seen rats in the city, but everyone's telling me there's a rat problem. I haven't noticed any more rats recently in New York City. You have?
Not more, but they're around. They've been around.
They're always around.
But that's a problem. Get rid of them. Let's go.
They're disgusting. You can't get rid of all the rats.
Yeah.
170. Ack, let me ask you a question.
Again, $200K.
$170,000 a year. You're the director of getting rid of the rats in New York City?
I'm in.
Okay.
That's actually probably the man we want. Ack knows the city very well. You know the spots where they hide out.
Well, you know, you just throw down some, you know.
Peter Luger.
There you go. Boom. Yeah. You put it inside of a paper bag with the trap. Trap goes. You throw out the rats.
Just how many traps are you going to buy?
Oh, whatever traps. It takes.
By the way, before Peter calls us, I could just imagine like Ack walking up with a microphone. How you doing over there, little fella?
So how many Peter Luger steaks are you going to buy with all those rats? That's an expensive trap you got there. Take you're going to get fired from that job. No
tax,
budget.
Tax write-off.
Yeah. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You a big chicken wing guy, Ack?
No.
No.
I'll eat them, but it's not like I go out of my way for
but it. You wouldn't do boneless wings. Like, if you're going to get wings, you're going
to
do
aren't
bone-in.
Or don't wings have to have bones?
Thank you. Thank you.
They're chicken nuggets if they don't have bones.
Ack, you earned your money tonight. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I got the 170 grand.
Ask Mike. Not me. Anyway, conference championship weekend is here. USC against Utah coming up at the top of the hour. When these two teams played last, Utah won. It was that crazy 43-42 game. It looked like USC was going to blow them out, and then Cam Rising happened, and he was sensational in the game. Maybe played the game of his life. Hickey, tonight, your thoughts on this one? Let's see who you're going to mush here. You're going to take USC, you're going to take Utah, because for the college football playoff picture, before we get your prediction, I know what we thought earlier in the week. Now let's get the official things in on Friday. Right now, would you agree with the statement, the only two locks to make the college football playoff, with after seeing the way the committee did go down on with the rankings on Tuesday, that right now it's the only two teams that you feel are definitely in are Georgia and Michigan. Would you agree with that?
No, I would put TCU in there.
I think TCU should be in. But let me just ask you this. If let's just say USC wins tonight and then TCU loses, do you think the committee puts Ohio State in over TCU? Do you think that's on the table? Because the committee's going to try to get Ohio State in, but they're going to need either USC or TCU to lose. Now, if USC loses, I don't think it matters what TCU does this weekend. Then TCU's going to find a way to get in, and they'll get Ohio State in. But if you have USC winning tonight and then TCU loses, even though TCU should get in, I think it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. I think it could be very uncomfortable as you wait on Sunday to find out if you're going to get in or not.
I think for once this year, the committee will do the right thing.
Wow. So you're having faith in the committee?
But I will say they do the right thing.
The committee that you've hammered and destroyed?
I just don't think they're stupid enough. I could be wrong. Again,
I don't know about that.
I will say they will do the right thing for the first time this year and keep TCU in if they do lose.
Well, let's just play this out a little bit. And I would rather have TCU in than Ohio State. But if you have a one-loss non-conference champ Ohio State team, one-loss non-conference champion TCU team, can't you see the committee saying, oh, well, Ohio State beat Notre Dame. Ohio State also beat Penn State. Penn State's in the top 10. Can't you see the committee kind of using that?
I don't think they penalized TCU for playing an extra game. 11-1 versus 11-1, I think it's a different story. I think 12-1 versus 11-1 is the reason why TCU is still going to be in.
Okay. I hope you're right. But if I'm TCU, take care of business. You're in against Kansas State. So right now, I think Georgia and Michigan are your two locks. I do think TCU is going to be Kansas State. And I'm picking USC tonight. I know we're in the year of all the chaos, all the teams falling by the wayside. I don't think this weekend we're going to have TCU and USC lose. I'm more concerned about TCU losing to Kansas State, but they've been doubted the entire year, and they proved everyone wrong, so I'm going to pick them to win. I know Utah's a heck of a football team. Kyle Whittingham is an excellent coach. Cam Rising's been really good for them, and they were the Pac-12 champions last year. They're not going to go down without a fight, but I just can't bet against Caleb Williams right now. And also with how that game played the first time out, it took everything for Utah to get the victory. I just don't think everything goes their way tonight. So I think next week, on Monday when we sit here, it'll be Georgia 1, Michigan 2. You will have TCU 3 and then USC 4. Your 4, Hickey, what are they going to be?
Same order. Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC.
So you're picking USC to beat Utah tonight?
I am picking Utah to win the game. So USC is in no matter what.
You think they're in no matter what?
Yes.
With
I don't think they'll get penalized losses? For playing an extra game. I don't think so.
Oh, they definitely. They'll put Ohio State. If USC loses Ohio State, I guarantee you will get in.
All right.
Guarantee
we'll see.
You. Because USC doesn't have a great win. What's their great win?
Beating UCLA. Solid win.
Okay.
They've beaten
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
That Ohio State also beat. I hate to say it. Your school, Penn State. That would be the case for Ohio State.
Well, USC also made it again, a conference championship. I think I don't see how they can penalize USC for playing an extra game that Ohio State couldn't make. We talked about this earlier in the week. Like, I don't think the committee is going to penalize them.
And we've never had a two-loss team get in the college football playoff. So you think that's going to break this year?
Yes. I don't think precedent's that big of a deal.
And when they lost to Utah twice, you would still. I don't. If USC loses now, I don't see how they're getting in.
Okay.
I really don't. I think that would be the way in for Ohio State. But I think USC's winning tonight, so it's not going to be a problem. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming back with a news brief.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, International Series, Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light. With the free AutoZone Fix Finder service, it will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Let's hear Mac Jones explain why the Patriots couldn't get into the zone last night, and he was frustrated with Matt Patricia.
Obviously, just kind of let my emotions get to me, but what I said was about throwing it deeper in the short game. You know, I got to execute that part better, but it's the short game that we kept going to, which is working, but I felt like we needed chunk plays, and, you know, I shouted that out to kind of get everyone going, and that's emotional, that's football. I'm passionate about this game, and obviously, you don't want to get your emotions, that, you know, get the best of you, but it wasn't directed at anybody, just emotion coming out, and we kind of needed a spark.
So originally this was reported last night, or people trying to read lips, and they said, oh, Mac Jones said the run game sucks. Let's throw the ball deep. And I was like, when I saw that clip on Twitter, I go, why would he say the run game sucks? Ramondre Stevens is a heck of a back. And then it comes out, and even it was Kurt Warner who pointed out first, and then Mac even said in the post game that it was the quick pass. They were down. They wanted to throw the ball deep. Instead, they're basically running screens. And Hickey, I know we could all question if Mac Jones has the arm or not for it. You're not wrong, though, because there was many times in that game late where it was 5 yards and it was screen passes. And I'm like, what are they doing? I know the line stinks right now, but I'm like, what are they doing? Throw the ball deep. You got to get some big chunk plays. At least give yourself a shot.
I know they're down 17. I think it was when they got the ball back, like 6-7 minutes left. They took one deep shot in that drive that eventually ended the field goal. But it's like, you would have thought the Patriots were by 17 with the lack of urgency. And like I said, it's screen passes, it's dump offs, it's like 5-yard slants.
And I know it was in a dome, but you're just coming off a week. And I know the Vikings defense is not as good as the Bills defense, but it was the first time all year where that moron of an offensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, finally said, oh, let's throw the ball deep down the field. And it worked. So a week later, you have zero consistency. Oh, man. This guy stinks, Patricia. Stinks. Stinks. And, you know, my voice all messed up today because I'm screaming about it last night when I'm at the game.
I'm just going to throw a question out there.
Fire Patricia, yes.
No. Do you think he stays?
Mac?
No. Matt Patricia next year.
He's on the coaching staff next year.
Not as OC, but somewhere like repositioned. Is that your guess?
He's not officially the OC. He's calling the plays, though.
You think there'll be a new, let's say, play caller next year that's not Patricia or Joe Judge?
There better be.
Better be, and it will be. Bill.
Yeah.
Figure it out, man.
I'm pulling to you now. Like with your USC point earlier this segment. Oh, yeah. The committee's not going to screw me. If they lose this game, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm just going to do what you do. When you don't want to argue something, they better be. They better be.
Better be.
I could have told you that after week three. If Patricia is calling the plays next year on the offensive side of the ball, I'm telling you, I'm not spending a dime on the team next year. I'll watch every game. I ain't going, though. I don't know. I like the tailgates are fun.
Tailgate in your apartment if you want.
Nah, but it's different when you're there and the atmosphere and all that.
And get jacked up to get air deflated out of the balloon.
Patricia's the offensive coordinator next year. You know how Patricia once wore the Goodell clown nose shirt?
Yes.
I'll wear a Patricia clown nose shirt into the game.
What about a Bill clown nose shirt?
No.
Because he'd be the clown bringing Patricia back next year.
No.
Okay.
It would be a bad decision by Belichick, but he is one of the greatest coaches of all time.
But it'd be a clown decision.
Yeah, it'd be a bad decision. Mac Jones says he wants to be coach hard.
It's accountability. It starts with me. And I think I want to be coached harder. I want to be a better player. And the coaches have given us everything they've got. And they've done everything to put us in position to win. But I want to hold everybody accountable, including myself. So I think that's, it's tough, right? You get called out a little bit, or you have to admit that you didn't do your job. I mean, that's part of the game. And a lot of that blame falls on me. I didn't do my best tonight. I think a lot of other guys play with a lot of good effort. We played with effort. I played with effort. I'm going to give it everything I got every week, no matter what. So I'll go until the wheels fall off.
I don't think, Ryan, it's getting coached harder. I think it's just getting coached better. Because he doesn't think he's getting the best coaching because of who's doing the coaching on the offensive side of the ball, led by the two brainiacs of Joe Judge and Matt Patricia.
Mac Jones went to Alabama. He's no dummy when it comes to watching his words. You're right. Coaching harder equates to getting better coached.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's ever been a player in New England that goes, oh, yeah, our coaches don't coach hard enough. Better? That's a different topic of conversation. Mac Jones says the offense let the team down.
We didn't play our best game, obviously, and we let our team down. And I think when we all play together, the defense, special teams, and offense, when we finally get a chance to do that, I think the results will be there.
He says all the right things. He's not going to be a Zach Wilson, I'll tell you that. Do I want to hear Belichick, yes or no?
There wasn't extra saltiness, so maybe not.
Okay. Richard Sherman, talking about extra saltiness, rips Bill Belichick for getting too much credit for success, Amazon.
You're giving Belichick too much credit. I talked about this before. People were like, Belichick. Tom Brady. Things have changed a lot without Tom Brady.
He's
not here, and you can see he's not here because in these situations, in these times, at this time of year, Tom Brady is executing. Tom Brady and Gillette, you might as well, you're walking out of here with an L. But today we watched a cornerback, a DB, be their leading receiver with 51 yards and 2 catches. Concern.
Well, yeah, all great coaches need great players. Phil Jackson, look who he coached. Tom Brady got coached by Bill Belichick. You could do in any sport, the greatest coaches have some of the greatest players. But let's not pretend like Belichick is this terrible coach now. He was 10-7 with a bottom five roster last year, a bottom 10 roster last year. But yeah, that's why I said for years, if I hate to pick who's more important, Brady or Belichick, but it is slightly Brady because he's a player. But let's not forget about the first part of the dynasty where that was mainly Belichick, then it was Brady, and then in the second half, it was a lot more credit to Brady than it was Belichick. But for every 28-3, for every coming back by 10 points to the LOB, then there's a performance against the Rams in the second Super Bowl where Brady's offense only had 13 points and Belichick's defense held boy wonder Sean McVay to only 3 points. Let's go to Jimmy Garoppolo and if he was close to going to the Dolphins this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, they were in a conversation. Not much came from it, but they were definitely one of the teams in the conversation. Seemed like a good spot as an offense. That's, you know, tremendous skill players, everything they got going over there. Mike, you know, being a great coach, had been with him in the past year, and it was discussed, but yeah, I'm glad the way things worked out.
Hickey, you know what I've realized? And this is nothing new. We keep on praising the Dolphins for the coaching of Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, getting the right talent around Tua. But they didn't want Tua on the roster this year as a starting quarterback. They tried for Deshaun Watson. They tried for Tom Brady. They tried for Jimmy Garoppolo. They wanted anyone but Tua to be the quarterback, and it ended up being maybe one of the better things to happen to that organization in a long time that he is the quarterback with the way he played this year.
How much there was that Brian Flores with Tom Brady or even Stephen Ross with Deshaun Watson? Because a lot of that, even Jimmy G.
Fair, but not Jimmy G. This offseason,
now, he said the talks didn't go far, so I don't know, you know, what that means, but...
And you're telling me if, let's just say, the whole tampering thing didn't come about, that Brady obviously would have been interested. He talked to him multiple times.
I'm not saying he wouldn't have been on the roster. I'm just saying, like, how much is that either... Stephen Ross is the one who signed, like, orchestrated the meetings, and...
Yeah.
So...
But it's more of a Chris Greer thing, then. For how much praise we give Chris Greer, he didn't really want to on the roster anymore. No matter what he says. Nathaniel Hackett addressed the rumors that people don't like Russell Wilson and then also play Nathaniel Hackett being asked if he's considering quarterback change back-to-back.
To me, it's all gossip. We have a fantastic locker room. When you look at a guy like Russ, I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen somebody work that hard. I've never seen somebody try to embrace a team like he has while he's here. Russ is awesome. I love Russ.
Coach, are there any scenarios where you'd make a change at quarterback if you thought it would give the team a better chance to win?
Right now, no.
Right now? That's just not believable when Nathaniel Hackett says, oh yeah, he's unbelievable as a teammate, he's great, everyone loves him, blah, blah, blah. You just had a defensive lineman who was playing in the AAF call out your quarterback. That's pretty bad. And finally, Patrick Peterson responds to Kyler Murray's tweet calling Peterson out when Peterson originally called out Kyler Murray.
First of all, I don't have any beef with Kyler Murray. You know, what I meant by my comment was, when you're a franchise quarterback, you have to carry yourself a certain way. So if you're having bad body language, pouting, moping on the sideline, what type of energy do you think that feeds off to your teammates? That's what I meant about Kyler cares. He's caring about himself because he's not putting the team first. How do you think the defense feel? If our starting quarterback don't have any energy, no fire that we can win this game, how can we? But I do look forward to talking to him, you know, because I see a ton of talent in him. And those mannerisms, you know, are alarming. And I'm just saying something that most people may be afraid to tell him.
I think Patrick Peterson is right. I don't think Kyler Murray has showed great leadership. I don't. And you could yell and get into a fight with the coach. You could yell and get into a fight with teammates. We've seen Brady do it. But then it elicits a response. You don't see that response from the teammates of Kyler Murray when he's sulking on the sideline during a playoff game. Or when he's yelling at the coach and then saying that the scheme was bleep after a game. You never see that group galvanized together and play this great football for a long period of time when the games actually matter. So I have no problem with what Patrick Peterson, a future Hall of Famer, said. Coming on back, Lynn Sterner going to join us.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.